ॐ नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पाद्विग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमीड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि। यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिताहिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहं। प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुगे नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। देवान् भावयतानेन ते देवा भावयन्तु वः, परस्परं भावयन्तः श्रेयः परमवाप्स्यथ। इष्टान् भोगान् हि वो देवा दास्यन्ते यज्ञभाविताः, तैर्दत्तानप्रदायेभ्यो यो भुङ्क्ते स्तेन एव सः। भगवान् is explaining the importance of karma yoga. In the last class he explained that karma yoga can be practiced in four attitudes. One is as Ishvara Ajna. It is a commandment of the Lord wherein we don't have any choice to follow karma yoga. Without karma yoga your life will be full of ragadvesha and full of sorrows. Therefore, out of fear at least, one should follow the commandment of the Lord. If anyone refuses to follow, they will be punished. In that idea, Ishvara Ajna, Karma Yoga has to be followed. Then Bhagavan gave another attitude for Karma Yoga, that is, follow Karma Yoga out of gratitude. In the Ishvara Ajna, there is an element of fear, fear of punishment. It is okay for some category, but as a matured person, as a sensible person, he will recognize that he has received so many gifts from the Lord, and out of gratitude, he has to give back something to the Lord. What is that he can give back? Following Pancha Mahayajna, following a life of contribution. Bhagavan told, Devan Ishtan Bhogan Dasyante. Gods of this universe, who are in charge for various natural forces, they will give you whatever you want, Chaturvidha Purushartan Ishtan Bhogan, whether it is money, wealth or sense pleasures or dharma or even moksha can be gained by following this karma yoga. One who does not follow this karma yoga, taihi dattan bhogan ebhyaha apratay ebhunte saha tena eva. One who does not have this gratitude and one who enjoys everything for himself, he is nothing but a thief. He doesn't have that minimum courtesy of thanksgiving for which he has received. Therefore, he will be called as a thief only. Then, as a third attitude, Bhagavan is going to talk about attitude of Chitta Shuddhihi. Karma Yoga as the means for spiritual purification. Chitta Shodhanartham Karma Yogaha. Bhagavan continues, Yajna Shishtashina Santaha Muchyante Sarva Kilbishaihi Bhunjate Te Twagham Papa Ye Pachantyatma Karanad. This attitude of spiritual purification can be appreciated by a person only if he is a mumukshu. A mumukshu knows that Atma Jnanam alone can liberate him from the sufferings of the world. and he knows that Atmajnanam is possible only when the mind is purified. Therefore, he is interested in gaining that inner purity, mental purity, inner growth, and not interested in external material prosperity. Therefore, he is ready to practice Karma Yoga for the sake of Chitta Shuddhi. Here Bhagavan says, Yajna Shishta Ashinaha Santaha Sarva Kilbishaihi Muchyante. Spiritual seekers become free from all sins by taking that Yajna Shishta. Yajna Shishta means Yajna Prasadam, that remnant of any action which is offered to the Lord. The result of any action which is offered to the Lord is called Yajna Shishtam or Yajna Prasada. If a person makes all his actions, converts all his actions of life as a puja to the Lord, then whatever result born out of that action will be Yajna Prasada. And he accepts that as the Prasada from the Ishwara. He accepts as Ishwara Prasada. Bhagavan calls him as a Santaha. That spiritual seeker is called a Sadhu. Even though he is an householder, even though he is engaged in so many activities, responsibilities, he also will be called as a Sadhu or Santaha, provided if he offers all his actions to the Lord for the sake of contribution, for the sake of serving the society. If a person wants more and more wealth, that wealth also is considered as a blessing to that person. It will be an Yajna Prasadam. Therefore, what is the idea here? Whatever duty we are in, whatever way of life we are in, once it is offered to the Lord, once all the actions are done as the Ishwara Puja, then the result, whether it is in the form of money or profit or wealth, whatever it may be, it will be a blessing, it will be a useful thing for the spiritual growth. That wealth becomes the means for Chitta Shuddhi. Here Bhagavan says, Muchyante Sarva Kilbishaihi. He will be freed from all sins. Kilbisham means papa. We define papam in Vedanta. Whatever promotes spiritual life is called Punyam. Whatever obstructs spiritual life is called Papam. Papam, anything which obstructs spiritual growth. If money is the cause of my degradation in inner growth, then it will be considered as Papam. If sense pleasures are obstacle to my spiritual growth, that is also called as Papam. If health is an obstacle for my spiritual growth, that also is called Papam. On the other hand, if poverty helps to grow inward, if poverty helps me to go towards the Lord, if disease helps me to go towards the Lord, that will be considered as Punyam. Therefore, here Bhagavan says, Kilbisham, Sarva Kilbisham. Kilbisham means the main obstacle, the main papam in everybody's mind is Raga Dvesha, likes and dislikes. That is the main obstacle for spiritual growth. And that Raga Dvesha is born out of Mohaha, delusion. What is a delusion here? Mohaha makes a person to consider this world as a source of happiness or as a source of unhappiness. Whereas the fact is, this world is neither the source of happiness nor the source of unhappiness. For example, music. For many people, the music is source of happiness. If a rock song is played, then modern youngsters will jump like anything. But the same music is a source of unhappiness for the elderly people. The fact is, our attitude towards the facts of life determines whether we are going to be happy or not. As long as a person expects something from the world, as long as a person tries to change this external world, he is considered to be in moha, in delusion. Delusion goes only when a proper knowledge comes in. What is the proper knowledge? That this world is neither the source of happiness nor the source of unhappiness. If I have that proper knowledge, if I have that proper attitude towards the world, then my ragadvesha comes under control. If I have that proper attitude towards the karma phala, result of any action, what the proper attitude? It is Ishvara Prasada. I have done my duty, so whatever is coming to me is the Prasada from the Lord. If that attitude is there, he will be free from that ragadvesha. He will not react to the situation. When unwanted things comes to his life, he will not react to that situation. He receives that karma phalam as Ishvara Prasada. Karma phalam loses his capacity in creating disturbance in his mind. This neutralization of ragadvesha is called freedom from papam. That is called chitta shuddhi. In other words, in general, karma yoga purifies the mind by making his mind free from ragadvesha. On the other hand, a karmi who doesn't follow karma yoga, who doesn't offer his actions to the Lord, who follows a selfish way of life, ye atma karanat pachanti, one who does all actions for his sake. Here Bhagavan takes an example of cooking. Who cooks for themselves, te agham bhunjante, they are eating their own papas. How it is? When a person does his responsibilities or duties, there are lots of situations where he has to lie, he has to cheat, he has to tell something which are going to be papa karmani. So they are adding more and more papa karmani, and those karmas, if it is offered to the Lord and the results, if it is received as the prasada from the Lord, then they loses the capacity to disturb him. Since this karmi, the selfish person, does not offer the actions and does not receive the results as prasada from the Lord, whatever he enjoys will be nothing but papam, nothing but sin alone. Te papaha bhavanti, they become more and more sinful people. Here cooking stands for all actions and eating stands for all types of enjoyments. The Vedic vision is you enjoy. Veda doesn't say that you don't enjoy. Veda say you enjoy, but renounce and enjoy. Tena tektena bhunjita, after renunciation you enjoy. How is it? How can you renounce and enjoy? There was a minister, foreign minister. So he used to go to many foreign countries. One minister from our Kerala, he went to that foreign minister's house. So that minister treated this Kerala minister nicely, gave a lot of fruits which are very famous in his country. So when that foreign minister came back to India, he went to that Kerala minister's house. The Kerala minister gave Nendram Phalam, banana, a type of particular banana. This foreign minister generally has the habit of taking everything as it is, along with the skin. So he took that Nendram, that banana also, along with the skin. While offering to the foreign minister, the Kerala minister told, this is the sweetest fruit in the world, so you would not have got anywhere in the world, so this is offered to you, you please take like that. When the foreign minister took it, it tasted as sour. Then foreign minister, what is this? This one you are talking about as sweetest fruit? Then the Kerala minister told, no, 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 you have to know what to renounce and what to take. Renounce the banana peel, then take the inside banana. Similarly, Shastra also says, after renouncing your ragadvesha, then enjoy the karma phalam as Ishvara Prasada. Don't be a selfish one, enjoying everything alone. Nowadays, there is a Rukmini cooker, a small cooker wherein only one glass of rice you can put, can be available for only two people. Don't cook for your sake only. In our tradition, even cooking action is not done for the sake of eating. In the olden days, in every house, whenever they cook, whatever they cook, they will first offer to the Lord. And before taking, they will wait for somebody to share. They will wait for some guest. So in this land, food was never sold. A person who sells food or anything is considered as outcasted person in this nation. Now everywhere restaurants are there. That is the condition of the modern generation. So in this culture, even cooking is not done for one's own sake. Cooking is done for the sake of the Lord, as for the offering of the Lord. And after offering it, a person has to wait to feed a guest. If he doesn't get any guest, at least he has to feed some crows and animals, dogs, cats, something. After that only, as a prasada, as a remnant of that offering only, he is allowed to partake that food. In modern time, if you are not able to follow that, because all are staying in flat system, where to search for dog, where to search for atithi, and we don't know what type of atithi, whether he is a smuggler or a cheater, we don't know, so how to engage. So therefore the acharyas have told, at least take one marshal of rice, uncooked rice, and put it in a basket or some bag. Then entire month will be saved. Every time you cook, take one marshal of rice and put it in that bag. Then afterwards, at least monthly once, you can go to donate to any temple or any ashrama wherein this annadana was going on. So Shastra says, never be a selfish person. There is a story, Kodakandan, a person who never gives. In Tamil, he is called a Kodakandan. Don't be a Kodakandan. Kodakandan means one who never gives. This person, though he doesn't want to give anything, but for the sake of society, he has to pretend that he is ready to give. Therefore, what he is to do, daily, before taking lunch, daily he will come out and he will shout, "Is there any atithi?" Before closing that statement, immediately he will close the door and go inside. Because some atithi comes, he cannot give, so he doesn't want to give. But at the same time, for the sake of society, because the village culture, everybody has to give something. So he wants to keep that face value as the giver. So one day, people observed this, then one day they wanted to teach him a lesson. So they invited a sadhu. Then they told a sadhu, like this fellow pretending to be a giver, but he never gives. If you make him give, then we will all appreciate your capacity like that. The Swami also thought, okay, it will help him in spiritual growth, let me do it. So one day after cooking, this Kodakandan, the person who never gives, went as usual outside and started shouting, "Is there anyone as a guest?" Immediately Swami entered, "Yes, I am here." "Now Swami has come, you have to feed." So he made him to come inside and to sit, and went to his inner apartment wherein his wife is there, no children also. Stingy people generally don't have children also. So he went and told like this, "Today a big problem has come, as even I was shouting, is there any guest? This guest has come, what to do? Nothing doing, we cannot feed him." "No, no, we have to feed, otherwise this village will outcast us. What to do?" Immediately that mother, that housewife, she gave an idea. "See, there is a rule of treating a guest. A guest should not take, atithi should not take food in a house wherein husband and wife are quarreling. So we will start quarreling. So by seeing our quarreling, this sadhu will go away so that we can avoid feeding him." Then it happens to be a very nice idea. So immediately the husband asks, "How to quarrel? Shall I beat you? If you beat me, I will beat you twice. So you should not beat me, but at the same time you should pretend as though you are beating me. Then what you will do? I will cry as though you are beating me." Like that they started and pretending as though he was beating and he was crying. After few minutes, when the person came out, he saw there was no Swami. So now he felt very happy. "Bah, guest has gone. Now we are two only." Brought two plates and served the things, whatever is there from that Rukmini cooker, small cooker. Whatever is there in that two plates, he served. And about to take, that time the husband asked, "How nicely I bet you without beating." Then wife told, "How nicely I cried without crying." Then immediately there was a third voice, "How nicely I have come back without going out." So if you are a Kodakandan, that is a person of not giving, Bhagavan will send somebody Vidakandan. The sadhu is called Vidakandan. Vidakandan means one who never leaves. That is the reason a person never shares anything. He ends up with a medical bill in St. John's Hospital. Something will be there. When you go, they will give big prescription of doing this scan, that scan, CT scan, and you will end up paying 1 lakh bill. Or that person will end up in giving the donation for engineering seat for his son or daughter. Or he will end up in giving dowry to his daughter's marriage. Like that, Bhagavan will see that you have to give. Therefore, Bhagavan here says, never be a selfish person. If you are a selfish person, ye atma karanat pachanti, te papaha bhavanti, te agham bunjanti. One who lives for his own sake, one who does all actions for his selfish enjoyment, he lives a sinful life. He eats only sin alone. Therefore, if you follow the karma yoga, if you follow the practice of giving, little by little, whatever is possible for you, if you start practicing giving, contributing, then ultimately you will end up in giving the ahankara also. Giving certain things, materials, is called mamakara tyagaha. Mamakara means these are all my possessions. That practice of that mamakara tyaga will make you to end with ahankara tyaga, which is nothing but atma jnanam, which is nothing but moksha. That's why na karmana na prajaya dhanena tyageinaike amrutatvam anashuhu. Therefore this karma yoga will lead to you chitta shuddhi, and chitta shuddhi will lead to jnana yogyata prapti. Then ultimately jnanam and mokshaha will be gained. This is the third attitude. Bhagavan continues. अन्नात् भवन्ति भूतानि पर्जन्यात् अन्न संभवः यज्ञात् भवति पर्जन्यः यज्ञकर्म समुद्भवः. In the next two shlokas, Bhagavan is going to talk about karma yoga as the dharma, as the attitude of, for the sake of dharma. Karma yoga is practiced for the sake of dharma. Dharma means what? Dharana dharmaha. That which sustains the entire creation, that which sustains the universal harmony, is called dharmaha. Even if a person doesn't believe in moksha, even if a person doesn't believe in chitta shuddhi, purity of mind, or Ishwara puja, still he can practice karma yoga for the sake of maintenance of this universal harmony. Universal harmony is maintained only when the cycle called give and take cycle is maintained. This cycle is active at every level of life. At every level of life, this give and take cycle is very much active. At physical level, if you consider, if a person goes on, feeds himself, but nothing gives out, suppose he doesn't do any work, he doesn't work out at all, that energy, what happens? With a round pillar personality, he goes, the doctor says, take one dog and walk for 2 miles, like that. Then if it is at intellectual level, as even he receives the knowledge from the elders, he has to share it. That is why swadhyaya is always followed by pravachana. Swadhyaya pravachanecha, Shastra says. At emotional level also, as even the person receives the love, sympathy, compassion from the society, from the parents, from the family members, he has to give back. If he refuses to give back, ultimately he will end up without gaining that. So if you refuse to give back, you violate this cycle and end up as a antisocial element or as a stagnated person. When the river flows, as even water is received, so it is given also to the next stage. Otherwise it becomes a stagnated water source. Then stagnation means all type of stinking and other problems will be there. So all living beings are interconnected and interdependent. Therefore, as even you are consuming, you should contribute to the society also. Other than human beings, all living beings are designed in such a way, they contribute or give back. Whatever they receive from the world, they give back to the world. voluntarily and instinctively. They don't violate, they cannot violate, they don't violate also. But this human being who happened to be a crown of this creation has the capacity to violate, and he wants to be a consumer. Always he wants to be a consumer, he wants to take only, he refuses to be a contributor. Therefore Veda insists, all the scriptures insist that humanity should contribute. Since human being has a disease called lobha, this lobha is not there with any animals or birds. Only human mind has this greediness, lobha, so goes on amassing and finally rottening. So he has to be taught to give. Human being alone is taught to be a giver, and that giver happened to be an extremely rare person in the world. There is a Shubhashita, Shateshu Jayate Shuraha Sahasreshu Cha Panditaha Vakta Shata Sahasreshu Dhata Bhavativa Nava. Out of 100 people, one person may be a courageous person, and out of 1000 people, one person may be a scholarly person, Sahasreshu Panditaha. And out of Shata Sahasreshu, out of 1 lakh people, there may be a Vakta, a good teacher. And Dhata, what about the giver? Bhavativa Nava, you cannot find that much easily whether he is a giver or not. Because the giving happened to be a difficult thing for human mind. It feels insecure when it is given. Though when you donate some money to this institution, though your bank balance reduced, that only mind sees, my bank balance is reduced. But that mind doesn't know that it is going to get benefit thousand folds in another form. It doesn't know that, therefore it is ignorant, therefore it refuses to give. There is a dialogue between a king and the minister. King was boasting about his rulership to the minister. You see, in our kingdom all people are so nice, so generous, having that idea of contribution like that, he was boasting. The minister told, maybe some minority group is there, human nature is always grabbing nature only, so I cannot accept this like that, the minister told. Then Raja became angry. Then he told, you prove that humanity doesn't have that idea of generosity, you prove that. Then minister told, okay, I will prove tomorrow itself. So he announced, in the name of the Raja, he announced, tomorrow early morning there will be a big pitcher means what? Pot, big pot in front of so and so temple. Everyone is asked to pour one glass of milk in that pot, big pot it is, because very huge pot it was. That announcement was given. So early morning before 5 o'clock everybody is asked to give their share of one glass of milk. We will do puja to that deity of the devata. So announced. Then Raja was thinking that at least 50-50 will be there like that. Then everybody thought, one glass of milk, what is this? Out of big pot, everybody will bring milk only. If I take one glass of water instead of one glass of milk, what is the difference? So, like everybody thought. So everybody took only water, one glass of water. Because it is early morning, nobody can see anyone. So they came, piously they poured that water and went out. So when 5 o'clock, Raja and the minister came and opened. Minister opened that big pot. Then Raja saw only water. Then Raja asked, hey, what you announced? One glass of water or one glass of milk you announced? Not even the sign, that white color of milk is there. A pure water is there, what to do? Now you understand the mentality of human being. The human beings are classified with the idea of giving nature. Human beings are classified into three types. One is animal man, second one is normal man, third one is divine man. In the Shastra, this classification is available. Animal man is one who consumes more and contributes less. Lot of things he takes from the society, lot of benefits he takes from the society, but his contribution will be very, very less. And normal man is one whose consumption and the contribution are more or less same. He is a normal man. As even he consumes, that much he contributes. He pays for that whatever he consumes. And divine man is one who consumes very less and contributes more and more. If animal man are more and more in the society, if their number is majority, then what is the result? Global warming. Ecological imbalance is the result. So entire cosmos is one body. We cannot isolate ourselves from the nature or from the animals, from the trees. So entire cosmos is one body. So all the living beings are integral parts of that one body. We call it Virat. If human being refuses to give, then all other beings are naturally giving back. Whatever they take, they give back. Violation is possible at the level of human being. If human beings refuses to give, then this universal harmony is disturbed. Therefore, Bhagavan says, a thinking person who is aware of this harmony, dharma we call it, does all his actions as a contribution to the world. Even an atheist can follow this dharma for the sake of maintenance of universal harmony which is already existing. This attitude of dharma keeps the universal cyclic process to continue. In the creation, everything is a cyclic process. Everything is a cyclic process. They call it oxygen cycle. One cycle is there, oxygen cycle. Human being needs oxygen for its survival. So who will provide the oxygen? Bhagavan has created another variety of living being which are called a tree. They will take our carbon dioxide and they will produce oxygen which is need of human being. But this super intellectual human being, what he does? In cities, what he does? More and more people come together in city. What he does? He cuts all the trees and builds buildings like matchbox, flats after flats going on. The logic is, if more human beings are there, means in that place more oxygen should be there. More oxygen should be there means more trees should be there. But this super human being cuts all the trees and more human beings are living together, and there will be a problem called pollution or air pollution. So this cycle should be maintained. Out of many cycles in the creation, Bhagavan describes one cycle. It is called Jagat Chakram. What is that? Annat bhavanti bhutani. Human beings are sustained by food. Annat bhavanti bhutani means the origin for human body is from the food. Annat bhutani jayante jatani annena vardhante adhyate atticha bhutani. That is the cycle. Out of consumed food of the father and mother, the bija comes. Bija for the child comes. When they join together, that bija becomes the another body. So which produced that bija? Consumed food. So annat bhavanti bhutani. From food this human body has come. Because of food only this human body is sustained. So from where this food has come? Parjanyat anna sambhavaha. From the rain all this food is created. And rain is coming from where? Yajnat bhavati parjanyaha. Here yajna means adrishtam or apurvam, invisible cosmic harmony or ecological balance. Seasons are indicative of cosmic harmony. Whether the cosmos is intact, how to know? We can know from seasons. That is the reason now, because of global warming, anavrishtihi or ativrishtihi. Either no rain or lots of rain. So rain is the acid test of the cosmic harmony. Here Bhagavan says, ignat bhavati parjanyaha. When the cosmic harmony is kept intact, parjanyaha, rain comes automatically. Yajnaha karma samudbhavaha. Cosmic harmony is maintained by performing all our duties, panchamaha yajnas. Panchamaha yajna we talked about, indru yajna, pitru yajna, deva yajna, rishi yajna and bhuta yajna. When a person, when humanity lives a contributory life, when the humanity performs all its duties for the sake of society, by doing proper actions, the humanity contributes to the harmony, universal cosmic cycle. A life of reverence is there in his life. A person who follows this Panchamaha Yajna always follows this with the idea that since I am taking from here, from this source, I should not pollute it. River I should not pollute, air I should not pollute. If I pollute, I am going to be the sufferer. He knows, he has a reverence for that natural cycle, so he contributes. Contributes in what sense? Not by creating any cycle, not by maintaining that cycle, but by avoiding polluting or destroying that cycle. If a person violates the cycle by polluting air, water, and if he exploits the nature by destroying the forest, etc., then he becomes unfit to live in this world. Therefore, Bhagavan or nature throws away and destroys it. That's why lot of tsunami and other so many other things come. We don't know why it comes, because of this natural imbalance only. So why here human beings alone is kept as the responsible people for maintenance of this harmony? Because other living beings harmoniously live with the cycle, universal cycle. They don't violate, only human being violates. Therefore human beings are kept as the responsible community for the perpetuation of this cycle. What is that cycle? Food brings human being. Human being does some good actions, proper actions, panchamaha yajna. That panchamaha yajna, proper actions, produces the punyam or adrishtam, which is in the form of ecological balance. And due to ecological balance, rain comes. And due to rain, again food comes. Then again from food, human being comes. Like that, the cycle continues. Next shloka. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavam tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam yajne pratishtitam. Here the question comes, how to know what actions are dharmic actions or proper actions? How can I know which action contributes for the universal harmony, which action disturb the universal harmony? How to know? Bhagavan says, you can never know with your intellect. Human being can never understand the secrets of nature totally. Human mind is a limited instrument of knowledge. It cannot have the capacity, doesn't have the capacity to know the intricacies of natural secrets. It has by nature intrinsically six types of doshas. Ajnanam. Naturally, human mind is ignorant. Human mind doesn't know so many things. Then samshayaha, whatever it knows also, it is full of doubts. So many theories are there about the nature. Then viparyayaha, erroneous perception. That instrument which we have, which is in the form of sense organ and the mind, has the erroneous perception. There is no blue sky at all, but we see blue sky. There is no sunrise at all, but we see sunrise. That perception is an erroneous one. Then fourth one is pramadaha, negligence, oversightedness. This fellow, this meteorologist predicts that so and so rain will come or no rain will come. To tell no rain will come, you need not predict. So in that way, it is a pramadaha. The mind is having that incapacity called negligence. Then fifth one is vipralabdhihi. Vipralabdhihi means subject to deception. Even though I know the truth, I will not tell to others due to my selfishness. I will misguide others for the sake of my selfishness. So it is called vipralabdhihi. Then sixth one is apatukaranatvam, intrinsic limitation in the form of sense organs. These sense organs don't have capacity to see everything, to hear everything. It can see only vision, which is within the particular frequency. It can hear certain sound, which is within the particular frequency. So all these defects are there in the human mind. Therefore, it can never know what is proper action, what is improper action. Our scientists found out one material called CFC. You might have heard. CFC, chlorofluorocarbon, it is called. That material is used where, you know, in our fridge and in our AC machines is used. They were very happy when they found out, because for Westerners this fridge is very necessary. They will cook once in a month. They will cook once in a month or once in a week. Then they can keep all the food item in the fridge, and they wanted air condition also. So they were very happy. Then after many years, 10-15 years, they found in particular area they are getting skin cancer. When they analyzed the patient, they found out that this CFC material, that chemical, has made a hole in the ozone zone. Ozone zone is a zone which is protecting our air from the ultraviolet rays of the sun. So this fellow is using air conditioner and fridge here, and what is the result of that? That chemical goes, gets evaporated, goes to that ozone zone, and it has made a hole in that ozone zone. Since ultraviolet rays of the sun comes through that hole, whoever lives under that hole, means not small hole, it will cover thousands of miles. Half of the Australia is suffering because of that now. Similarly, one more thing, motorcycles, where all our youngsters should be aware of this, as even they are giving accelerator, dar like that, keeping brake they will give accelerator. So as even they found out this motorcycle, and as even they found out that fossil fuel, petrol and diesel, they were very happy. Now they have found out that the very thing which is a convenient thing for the fast world is the cause of greenhouse effect. It is called greenhouse effect. And there is another chemical, DDT. There is a chemical called DDT, and it creates lots of problem in the human body, lot of cancer and other problems create. So human mind can never know what is the side effect, what is the total vision of the nature. Therefore, Vedic society always depended on Veda to know about which is proper action, which is improper action. What is dharmika karma, what is adharmika karma, how to know whatever is prescribed in the Veda is dharma, dharmika karma. Whatever prohibited in the Veda is adharmic and adharma. So Veda not man-made. There is no Paurusheya dosha. Vedas are the words of the Lord received by the highly pure intellect. Rishis never discovered it. Never invented it. They received that knowledge. Like TV, if you have a TV receiver, you can receive certain ways. Similarly, their mind was so pure, therefore they could find out or they could receive the knowledge. So Veda is considered to be a body of knowledge. Here Bhagavan says that action which is the cause of ecological balance is known from the Veda. Karma Brahmodhavam Vidhi. So Arjuna, know that all the dharmic actions are born out of Veda. Here Brahma means Veda, not Brahmaji. So many meanings are there for the word called Brahma. Here Brahma means Veda. Any action prescribed in the Veda is proper action. Any action prohibited in the Veda is improper action. Then Veda came from where? Brahma Akshara Samudbhavam. Veda is born out of Ishvara. Akshara means Ishvaraha. Akshara means here Paramatma. Ishvaraha, being the creator, he alone knows the mechanism of the creation. And while giving creation to the humanity, he has given a manual to handle that. That manual only is called Vedaha. Tasmat Sarvagatam Brahma. Veda is all pervasive one. How can we say Veda is all pervasive one? In Afghanistan, nobody knows Veda. How can we say Veda is all pervasive one? The idea is, Veda deals with three things. Entire gamut of Vedic knowledge deals with only three things. What are they? About this world, Jagat, about the individual, Jivaha, about the Ishwaraha. Jiva, Jagat, Ishwaraha is revealed or dealt in the Veda. So other than these three, what is there in the world? In the creation, nothing else. So the teaching, Veda is all pervasive, means Vedic teaching is an all-pervasive one. Wherever good thing happens, that is because of this Vedic teaching, Vedic revelation. Sarva purushartha prakashakatva. All the purusharthas, that is dharma, artha, kama, moksha, all the human achievements are described and dealt in the Veda. The means also dealt in the Veda. Therefore, it is called sarvagatam brahma. Nityam yajne pratishtitam. Even though Veda is all pervasive, it is manifested especially tangibly in the Panchamaha Yajna. Nityam Yajna Pratishtada means, Yajna means Panchamaha Yajna. All the five Yajnas, Nru Yajna, Pitru Yajna, repeatedly I am telling. So hopefully you will remember. Pitru Yajna, Deva Yajna, Rishi Yajna, Nru Yajna, and Bhuta Yajna. Service to the worship of the Lord and service to the parents, worship of the rishis, which is in the form of studying the scriptures and preaching the scriptural ideas to the future generation, then service to the humanity, all social services, and service to the entire bhutas, animals and other natural forces. So when a person understands that what are all the proper actions by studying the scriptures or getting exposed to the scriptural teachings, then naturally he will be a sensitive person, he will be a responsible person. So this is also a cycle. From food, human being comes. Human being does proper actions. Proper actions are given by the Veda. Veda is from the Bhagavan. Because of that proper action, he is creating a punya phalam or ecological balance, unseen adrishta phalam. We don't know how by cutting one tree here we are disturbing the natural harmony. We don't know. But science says you cannot pluck a flower without disturbing the entire creation. The plucking flower also disturbs the creation. They have proved in the science. Anything you do in your vyakti, in your individual life, it disturbs or it affects. How it disturbs, whether positively or negatively, that is different. We don't know that. That is called unseen ecological balance. Because of that unseen ecological balance, if it is harmoniously maintained, rain comes in time, and how much rain necessary, that much only it comes. Then because of that, good yielding comes, food comes, then again human beings are well nourished. So this cycle is maintained. A person, a sensible person, a responsible person, should live a life in such a way that he should not violate this cyclic process. If a person violates, what is the lot of this person? Bhagavan continues.
Evam pravartitam chakram nanuvartayatihayaha aghayurindriya ramaha mogham parthasa jivati.
Very strong condemnation. Bhagavan in this shloka condemns that selfish person, a karmi who doesn't follow karma yoga, who refuses to contribute, is very strongly condemned in this shloka. Karma yoga means giving or contributing. Therefore, karma yogi measures his success in terms of his capacity to give and contribute. Whereas a karmi, a selfish person, measures his success in terms of his capacity to grab and possess. That's why external world society can see those who have grabbed and amassed the wealth, they are respected because they are ignorant people full of selfish attitude. But in our scripture, you can find always an unselfish person, a renunciate, a tyagi is glorified. In Puranas, you can have lots of stories. There was one Shibhi Chakravarti. He had that capacity. Just to save a bird from the vulture, he even gave his own life. He was ready to give up his own life. A pigeon came taking shelter. This vulture, chasing that pigeon, came to this Shibhi Chakravarti. Then vulture told, you are doing adharma, you are obstructing my food. Vijayan is my food. So food is everybody's there, right? So I am chasing it for long hours, long distance. Now it has come to you and you are giving shelter and you are not allowing me to eat that vijayan. So Shibhi Chakravarti told, no, this is not proper argument. You have lots of food. You can eat other lives only. This particular bird has taken shelter in me. Therefore, I am not ready to part with you. That vulture told, no, since I have seen this bird first in this particular day, this is my food. Bhagavan has given this as my food. either give my food or compensate it. So Shivi Chakravarti told, okay, I will compensate. I will compensate when he told, how he will compensate? He has to kill some other animal, then he has to feed that vulture. So instead of that, what he told, okay, I will compensate as equal weight. Whatever weight is there, that pigeon, equal flesh I will give. So he cut his hand and put it there. Certainly hand waves more than a pigeon. But unfortunately, pigeon is waving more. That scale is not coming up also. So he cut his leg also and put it in that scale. Balance is not coming equal. Then this Raja thought, maybe a wonder, maybe this pigeon also something wonder. The vulture also maybe something wonder. So he sat on the scale itself. Totally he sat on the scale, offering himself, okay, oh vulture, you take entire body. You can kill me and take. When he offered like this, immediately the vulture became Indra. What happened in Devaloka, now and then some debate will happen. Who is the best person in the world? Like that some debate will happen. Some rishi who goes from here, a visiting guest to the Indraloka, he will tell so-and-so person, so-and-so Raja is the best. So they will not be convinced by these words. So they will try to test or verify that word. That way one rishi told that Shivi Chakravarti is a man of dharma. He is a man of giver. He can give anything for the sake of dharma. So to test that only, that Indra has taken this vulture form and Yamadharma Raja has taken this pigeon form. This story is told glorifying the attitude of a giving. And we have Harishchandra's story. We have Ramchandra's story. Bhagavan Ramchandra's story full of that renunciation is there. So all our scriptures glorify the giving attitude. In Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, Bhagavan Ramakrishna says, the essence of Gita can be known by simply repeating it for many times. Gita, 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 Gita. What happens? Tagi. Tagi means what? Tyagi. Have humanity renounce everything. That is the essence of Gita. Therefore, all selfless persons, all renunciates, all the people who have the idea of contributing, idea of giving back are glorified. All selfish people are condemned in our scriptures. In this Gita, Bhagavan says, evam pravartitam chakram yaha na anuvartayati. Evam, in this manner, the chakra which is pravartitam, which is started by the creator. In this manner means in what manner? In the manner of giving and taking, giving and taking, giving and taking. One who doesn't follow this chakram, it is called Jagat Chakram, cycle of creation. One who doesn't follow this cosmic cycle of giving and taking, saha aghayuhu, he is called aghayuhu. Aghayuhu means agham eva ayuhu yasya. He lives on sin alone. Agham means papam. One whose life force is sin alone. He is an embodiment of sin. Saha indriya ramaha. He is an embodiment of sensual desires. He is a sensualist. Indriyeshu eva aramaha yasi saha. One who revels only in sense objects is called a sensualist. He is called indriya ramaha. Bhagavan here says, he partha, oh my dear partha, my dear Arjuna, saha mogham jivati. He lives in vain. His entire life is a waste. His life is neither useful to himself nor useful to the society. Entire life happened to be a waste. How? When he enjoys, he is enjoying. It's useful for him only. How can you say that his life is a waste? How can we say a sensualist life is a waste one? At least he is enjoying. Here Bhagavan says, being given to sense pleasures and sinful life, he lost all the chances of spiritual growth. He lost the chance of attaining dharma and moksha. So gaining artha and kama, gaining wealth and sense pleasures are not considered as a great achievement in human life by the scriptures. Scriptures never consider that gaining wealth and sense pleasure as the great achievement. Why? Because all the animals have this. ఆహార నిద్ర భయమైతునంచ సామాన్యమేతత్ పశుభిర్నరాణాం బుద్ధిర్హి తేషాం అధికో విశేష బుద్ధిర్విహీన పశుభి సమాన. హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్ ఆల్సో ఈ అనిమల్ ఆల్సో ఈ దే ఆల్సో స్లీప్ వి ఆల్సో స్లీప్ దే ఆల్సో ప్రొక్రియేట్ ప్రొజెని దే ఆల్సో ఎంజాయ్ సెన్స్ ప్రెషర్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్ ఆల్సో ఎంజాయ్ సెన్స్ ప్రెషర్ సో వాట్ ఈస్ ద డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ బుద్ధి తేషాం అధికో విశేష దిస్ ధర్మాధర్మ బుద్ధి డిస్క్రిమినేషన్ పవర్ బిట్వీన్ ది వాట్ ఈస్ రైట్ అండ్ రాంగ్ వాట్ ఈస్ bondage, what is freedom, this buddhi is there as a differentiating criterion. When this selfish person who spends all his time only in earning money and spending the money in sense pleasures, he is a lost person. He has not accomplished anything greater. Eating, drinking and procreating cannot be considered as a great achievement in human life. Swamiji used to tell, even a tata is live 350 years, what is the great thing if you live 80 years or 70 years? Even a vata vriksha, a pupal tree, lives more than 500 years. Neither long life nor healthy body nor wealthy surrounding nor the sense pleasures are the criteria for the greatness of the. Even pigs have so many children. There are some people who are proud of family members. See how many my children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, Swamiji, my family is always full of sound of children. So Swamiji says, pigs also have that. What is the great thing? They also procreate hundreds of progeny. Real accomplishment in human life will be always in the field of either dharma or in moksha. Either that human life should be spent for following certain values of life. Shastra doesn't say that don't enjoy. Repeatedly, we have to understand properly. Shastra never says don't earn money, don't enjoy that. Shastra says don't spend entire life for these two things. It can be a subsidiary thing, it can be a byproduct. Because Shastra cannot say don't enjoy. Because without enjoyment, human life will be boring. That's the idea. So, Shastra says spend your life predominantly for the sake of gaining this spiritual wisdom or at least establishing yourself in great character, dharma and moksha, then artha and kama happen to be a natural consequence. One Swamiji used to tell, I met him, very elderly Swamiji in Uttarakhand. Human beings waste their life, general people, general mind waste their life in pursuing sense pleasures. Then I asked, how can you say that? Pursuing sense pleasure means pursuing happiness. Pursuing happiness means it is very natural to any living being, much natural to the human being also. Then he told, see, without anybody's invitation, without anybody's working for, all the sufferings are coming to your life now. Nobody wants suffering in their life. Nobody works for suffering in their life, but still suffering knocks the door of every individual. Similarly, this happiness also will knock your door without even working, without even wishing for that. Never spend your time and energy for the sake of happiness. But if you spend energy for the sake of freedom and the dharma, character, then happiness happens to be a natural consequence. Therefore, his life is a waste. Mogham partha sa jivati. His life is a waste, not only in this janma, in the future janma also, when he is going to get this chance of becoming a human being again, we don't know. Bhagavan will tell in the 16th chapter, he'll say, Kshipami Ajasram Ashubham. I will send them to Naraka who have not used this human body, human mind properly, who have not worked for moksha and dharma. So he will get birth in the animal body or lower bodies. Therefore, his life is not useful either for himself or for the society also. Society prays for his departure. Yav Voktaropa, when he will die. But indirectly it will tell, we don't want him to suffer, therefore only we are praying to Lord so that he can get it. That is indirectly sophisticated word. What is the actual idea? Yav Voktaro. So many times, so many years he is keeping that Biro Chavi. Now also, even if Aviya Vittalam Chaviya Vidain, even if I give up the prana, I will not give up the chavi. So all the family members wait for his death. They pray for his death. When the person goes away, when the stingy person, selfish person who never enjoyed anything even with the family members, who never shared anything even with the family members, for his departure, society prays, society feels relieved in his death. So he cannot be considered even equal to animals. Because animals have worth. Ordinary pigeon, if you take, you can sell it in the market. It has worth. Elephant you take, while living also it is lot of money, and after death also so many things are useful for the society. Therefore, he partha yaha jagat chakram na anuvartayati saha indriya ramaha saha aghayuhu saha mogham jivati. One who doesn't follow this karma yoga, one who lives for his own selfish sensual pleasure, his life is called a sinful life. His life is a waste life. Therefore, hey Arjuna, you being an ignorant person, all these teachings are for whom? For the ajnani only, not for jnani. You need not teach jnani. Jnani knows what is right, what is wrong, and entire life happened to be a blessing to the society. So all these teachings, you follow karma yoga, is for an ajnani, for an ignorant person who considers himself as body mind complex, who has that ignorance called individuality. For him, while living in this world, as a means for freedom, as a means for purity of mind, this karma yoga should be followed, either as a commandment of the Lord or as a gratitude towards the Lord for his gifts, or for the sake of purity of mind, or at least for the sake of maintenance of this universal harmony. Everyone should follow karma yoga, otherwise his life is going to be a waste, and he is a sinful person. More details you will see in the next class. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranada Kleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha.